You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New Jersey After Show.
I feel like I should be staring into the camera very sultry right now.
I know.
We need the fan. And Melissa likes it, the fan.
A Beyonce fan?
More
fan.
All I can think of is Danielle Staub in the mirror looking at herself. Season one opening.
Brutal. Ending pose, everyone. All right. If you guys are tuning in right now, this is the AfterBuzz After Show for the Real Housewives of New Jersey, your favorite wives from the Garden State. And I can't believe it, but this is a first. We have a full packed house of hosts. Hosts and super fans of the show. So I don't want to waste any time. We're going to go around the table and let everyone introduce themselves and give your little Twitter handle, too, because we love it when people tweet in, call in. You guys have been doing that a lot, and keep it coming. So to my left.
All right. Hey, guys. I'm your host, Erica Garcia Rojas, and my Twitter is IamEGR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Grant, and my Twitter is GrantMichaelR, and I love the calls, too. So bring it on. Yeah.
I am Lauren Leonelli, and you can tweet me at Lauren Leonelli, and I'm so excited to be back.
Yay!
Thank you, Marissa.
And I am Deanna Vaughn, and you guys can tweet me at It's Me, Deanna V, and make sure you guys call because, you know, I'm going to say it again. We love it when you make your comments on iTunes, on YouTube. We really get into it. We know you guys like to comment and you like to, you know, call in and tweet us. So keep it coming because we got a full house tonight.
Yay.
So, all right. It's time to dig in. Episode 11, Children of the Scorned. All right. So we kick it off with the continuation of Teresa and Jacqueline's showdown. Mm-hmm. I want to get everyone's opinion on the authenticity and the sincerity of their little meeting. You know, do you think it was real? Did it seem like, you know, peace was really going to happen? Because I kind of feel like they didn't bring up everything for a reason. They kind of just let things sit to the side because they knew, you know, they're going to agree to disagree and okay, now we're friends. What do you guys think?
I don't know if it's, you know, this whole Housewife franchise, like, stuff went bad on New York. Like, that show, and we were just all talking about this while we were watching, like, we don't even see promos for New York because everyone just hated each other. It got really gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is like, yeah, these are really these women's lives and these problems are real, but some of it's set up by producers, obviously, and editing and situations like that. So, yeah, you wonder how much in this situation they're trying to glaze over. Like, all of a sudden, Teresa and Joe are fine, and now Teresa and Jacqueline are fine. Like, are they trying to make people friends so that it just doesn't get gross like New York? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wonder about how much of it they glazed over.
Well, I didn't find it genuine at all. I really didn't. I wasn't into
it. Tell us how you really feel, Grant.
No, I mean, I said this last week when they met with Dr. V up in the Adirondacks or whatever. It was like 10 minutes with Dr. V. Everyone was making dinner and making pasta and going out ice fishing. And I know they probably cut it down.
Yeah.
But my argument with that is you've built two, maybe three seasons up to this point of this big war. And so, you know, you boil it down to a 10-minute, like, therapy session. So I wasn't too pleased about that. And I felt the same way with this. I mean, so far throughout the season, the past 10 episodes, Jacqueline has been swearing up a storm, you know, throwing shade at the whole Gorga Judice family and their little feud, especially Teresa. And then they sat down and Teresa gave her half. Then we start this week. Jacqueline says hers 10 minutes in. They're like, oh, it's water under the bridge, pretty much. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Jacqueline, she mentioned that she's still guarded and she has trust issues, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why just come across so transparent to Teresa and just be like, yeah, all right, okay, we're ready to move on.
You wanted to see more of it. You felt like they're like, keeping us from the juicy stuff.
Well, I think Jacqueline needs to make a point saying that, you know, I mean, all right, we can get past this, but, like, you know, I'm not going to really forget things. Mm-hmm. Like, she just really just kind of let Teresa get away with everything. That's how I viewed
it. So you think that Teresa was, like, the one that was the wrongdoer in the situation, meaning, like, she's getting away with stuff? Because I kind of feel the same
more
way.
More or less. Yeah. I mean, more or less. Yeah.
Yeah,
what,
I agree.
What did you think, Erica?
Well, I know if you guys are reading the blogs, when you read it, Jacqueline said about the whole thing. And now, you know, much later, we know what's going on, that obviously they don't have a relationship. But Jacqueline said, you know, after watching it, you know, in her words, she's like, you know, I was trying to just make nice or whatever. And, you know, Teresa's comment of, you know, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And she's like, it goes to the same vein of like, yeah, I didn't think the whole thing was sincere. So if you read that, that's what she said. And what Teresa was saying, Teresa wasn't necessarily saying, like, I want us to be best friends. She was saying, you know, let's just be civil.
Yeah, civil.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think in all purposes, for the show to continue, Lauren, like you said,
that's what I'm saying.
It has to happen because they need to get together in these scenes, like the Zumba and all that stuff, to film. And they've just got to, you know, in some ways, throw the water on the bridge. They can still hate each other, but they got to be civil. And that's what it looks like to me, this whole situation.
Me too.
I felt like the two men, I feel like Chris and Joe, because, you know, let's be real. Men tend to handle things like this very differently. And you can chime in, you know, Grant. But I felt like they kind of made up and kissed. They were smoking cigars. It was great. But then, you know, with Jacqueline and Teresa, I felt like there was some fakeness to it. You know, like, it's kind of like, let's just move on and say we've made up. And to Erica's point, if you read Jacqueline's blog, she was very clear about, you know, how things actually went and how she felt and how she just kind of felt like, you know, Teresa was just giving her lip service and, you know, she didn't really feel the sincerity of anything. So, and we now know that, you know, there's truly no relationship. So, and of course, what did Teresa say? She said, oh, when things build up or get bad, just text me. I mean, who says that?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Teresa, like, that's a typical Teresa
line. I think what
Teresa's
saying, though, is text me instead of twittering it out to the world.
Right,
and Jacqueline, that's what she's been known to do, is to, like, go to Twitter and go crazy on Twitter.
But that's true. She's meaning, like, keep an open relationship with me, but I think you can say that. Like, hey, if there's something wrong, come to me. Text me.
Text,
like,
yeah. I think that's what she seemed a little impersonal.
You know, it just doesn't sit well with me the way that you were mentioning how, like, they, you know, they have to be civil to go on these trips, like, for the Real Housewives season, whatever, and that just to be able to be in the same scenes together. Because at what point is it really reality and then a reality show, and it just makes the whole thing seem even more contrived than it maybe probably even is. Yeah. It's just, to me, as a viewer, like, you want to see, you know, these people, this reality, this real life, and to me, it's just, if they're just going to make nice so they can be on the same show.
Well, I think the relationship between Jacqueline and Teresa is, like, broken at this point. Like, they had a genuine relationship. They were close friends. I think it's broken. I think it's done. I think too much damage is done. And they have to make nice to continue on the show. Teresa's in part of, like, a long-term contract. I don't know what Jacqueline's is, but
If they weren't on the show, then these two women would probably just never speak.
No,
that's the disconnect that I'm having. Because all right, well, now they're just going to be fake.
Teresa said this. She said, I just want her to leave me alone and just not say anything negative.
Teresa
said that during the conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
I think they should be careful about, like, Jacqueline should be, it's interesting to read her blog and people, you know, want more, they want to get into the story more and they want details. But I think she should be careful because, like you're saying, Grant, I detach a little when I don't feel like I'm really a fly on the wall. Like, that's what makes me like watching this. Right. And if I feel like it's like they're just pretending to be not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it seems like a reality show. Like, it's pretending like the producers are going in there. We're not, and we're just wasting our time, which we are still.
We all watch the show very closely. Yeah. Let me ask, do you feel that there's more producer input on this season than in the past? I just see a lot of it.
I think we've seen a lot of producer input just in general, just especially like that fashion show last season when Jacqueline got that text.
That was producer input.
One of all. Like, come on. But I've said this before, like, I think out of all the Real Housewives franchises, because of the true relationships that exist between all of these people, you know, you've got sister-in-laws and brother and
family.
Sister, you've got family, they're real relationships. Yeah. So I think out of all the other franchises, this to me is the most real it can be because they're not created relationships.
I agree.
I totally agree.
So, You know, it is produced a little, but I still think it's
all
real.
Produced mm-hmm. for sure. And that's mm-hmm. with any, I mean, come on, you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians and it's like, but you still watch for whatever reason because, yeah, you
I
feel,
don't.
You feel,
I can't handle them.
I can't either. Sorry.
I like it. I like being, like I said, I like feeling like a fly on the wall. And yeah. this takes me out a little, but I, you know, we also need to see how it's all going to pan out. And I know we know. Because this is in the past and we're living now in the present yeah. moment and we hear things, but it's still intriguing enough. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm mm-hmm. totally disconnected, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to a little surgery, a little tummy tuck action with Jacqueline. Now, we had a conversation about this as we were all viewing the show together, and it's come up that everybody's just like, oh, my God, Jacqueline, you don't need surgery, and it's so, you know, what a risky surgery. I feel like if you want to do something that's going to make you look better and feel better about yourself and it's not crazy over the top, you know, you're not getting a face transplant to look like somebody else, I say go for it. And I kind of had a problem with everybody just being so, oh my God, what are you doing?
Worrying, making her worry.
Yeah, making her worry, you know? I mean, Kathy got a nose job. Like, where was that worry? You know?
Well, we didn't see it because Kathy didn't get it on camera.
Yeah, she didn't do it on camera.
I mean, I'm all about people having plastic surgery and doing what they want to do and, you know, if it makes them feel better. Mm-hmm. The concern was coming from her family, her daughter, her parents. And a tummy tuck is not a joke. It's a serious, serious surgery.
I get it.
More so than a nose job. And so. Mm-hmm.
I just think, and you're totally right, Erica, but I just feel like why freak somebody out? Like, they were freaking. They weren't like, if I was going to have a surgery and I was freaked out about it, I wouldn't want people to be like, yeah, you should be freaked out. You might die. Like, no, I'd want them to be like, you're going to be okay. We're here for you. It's going to be fine. He's a good doctor. They're all like, what? You're going to die. Like,
you're going to be dehydrated.
Guys, come on.
Yeah. Like, especially if your mind is made up and you know you're going to have it.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
yes, there's a healthy worry, of course, but like, you probably try not to say, like, I'm scared you're going to die on the operating table to somebody who's about to go on the operating table. It's like, thanks a lot. But and she was not only having the tummy tuck, speaking of being serious, but it was the neck lift, too.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see what she looks like.
Yeah, I find Jacqueline to be very insecure in just many ways. And my sister mentioned that, like, a few seasons ago, and I've kind of been, like, thinking in the back of my mind. And it's like, I mean, she's definitely, with these surgeries, really insecure. And I mentioned that these are surgeries you could get when you're, like, 60, like a neck lift.
Totally.
I mean, she's what, 40, do we say?
I don't even think she's 40.
But a neck lift is and she doesn't really look like she, I mean, that's not our place to say, does she need it or not? But from what I see, a neck lift, it doesn't look like she even needs the neck lift.
I feel like that's something, I mean, again, do what you feel is going to make you feel good, but I feel like that's definitely something you wait until your later life to do, just because it's only going to get, it's definitely, it's a little extreme, I will say, but I want
to
know.
There are other things you can do to make yourself feel happy and forget things a little bit. Like, I don't
like
know.
Like having tequila the night before your surgery.
How much of this, though, I mean, you know, so insecurities manifest themselves in many different ways. And how much of this do you think is just like impounding on her? She's a very sensitive person. We've seen that throughout all the seasons. She's easily affected and thrown off by drama that's happening around her. She retreats. Like last season, she didn't even go to the reunion. Which is fine. It's not a judgment call. She just doesn't. She buckles under that kind of stuff. So how much do you think the last season was pretty brutal? Mm-hmm. She went through a lot, plus her son. Like, I wonder how much of that is manifesting itself into this, like, I can control the way I look, so why don't I get a tummy tuck type thing? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just saying that's a way, you know, yes, that insecurity was probably there regardless, but I wonder how much of this stuff is impounding the decision for her, you know, and I feel bad for her.
Well, I mean, you know. Well,
yeah, I feel bad for her.
Because of her situation
her
with her son?
And I feel like she's really, really affected by, like, some people don't, when her friends are mad at her and stuff, as much as, like, she would get upset and talk shit about Teresa or whatever, like, I feel like she was, I mean, she cried a lot. Like, she was really hurt by whatever was going on. However she handled it, it's her own thing, but she was, you could visibly see her, like, anxiety, and I feel bad for her that it affects her like that, and it's not, I mean, that sucks. She seems like she's going through pain, is what I'm saying. Like, she's in pain.
Yeah. I mean, she's up against some really tough women, though, on that show.
Totally.
Too. I mean, and we've seen Jacqueline go through a lot. We've seen her struggles with her daughter, Ashley, like last season. You know, we've seen her struggle with trying to get pregnant. Then she gets pregnant. She has a kid. Now the kid has autism. You know, plus she's been, you know, a little insecure about her looks in general.
Of course.
And you're on television every week, you know? So that those are a lot of pressures. And just, you know, to your point, Lauren, just how she, you know, is able to juggle things. So I just say do what makes you feel good.
I'm dying. terrifying to see. I mean, are the interviews that we're seeing after? Because I don't really notice like anything different. Like when she's, you know, having her little confessional. Because I'm like looking at her now. I'm like,
I would hope that they were before.
They do that when they have a surgery. I remember in the Housewives of Beverly Hills. Remember when Kim had her nose job?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like they wait until.
Okay. Yeah. I hope they do because I want a reveal. Yeah. I want a big reveal.
I want to see it too.
Yeah. I was looking for that with Kim. I was looking. I was going to see if the outfit was the same pre-surgery and post-surgery, and it wasn't. So
they were good about that surgery for Kim. So I'm assuming they're going to do the same thing here.
I hope so.
I do too.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from surgery and tummy tucks, we've got a little uncle and niece time with Joe and with Gia.
How heavy was that conversation?
Well, before I want to say when we see Gia getting ready, it's so funny. Her and her little Gia's 12 years old. What do you guys think about the fact that she's sitting there putting on makeup?
I didn't do that when I was 12.
No, I didn't either.
What do you think Teresa's kids are going to be doing?
Yeah, but still at 12.
Good point.
I mean, and it wasn't just lip gloss. No, she had a brush. Eyeliner.
Teresa gave
I'm all about makeup.
Teresa gave them a
wrong.
Kit.
But not at 12.
They all have makeup kits, please. I think they all got them.
You have a whole life to put makeup on.
It was a bit much. I agree. It was a bit much.
But then again, I mean, I am not making a judgment call on the parenting, but I watched that house and I'm like, what is everything seems a little extreme in that house, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like,
you seemed a little bothered by different things that were going on.
Girls are hanging from the staircase, which is clearly like at least 5 feet from the marble hard floor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I feel like maybe, and just the yelling that happenings, like Melania's always the one that's like, shut up, mom. I'm like, what is she allowed to say?
Yeah,
that?
Those kids are just.
They seem like everything's very extreme. And so it doesn't surprise me that she's also putting on makeup a lot younger than
she should be.
Yeah.
Seems like anything goes in that house.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the conversation that she's having with her friends. I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's a little production value to that as well, but the thought that a 12-year-old is discussing with her other 12-year-old friends about the relationship between her mom and her uncle. Like, what the?
I think that was just production trying to set up the next scene with her.
I didn't like it, though.
The problem is that she is in... Yeah, I didn't like it either. She's involved in a problem that she should not be involved in, and that's obviously because of the show, I feel like. But then also, Teresa's, like, listening in with the little girl, the sister rocking the side pony. Like, I'm like, they should not be... This is when the mom steps in and says, look, honey, this is not your problem. Like, it's going to be okay. But I think that even if she tried to shelter her from that, it's impossible just because of the show. Like she said, she goes to school and people say stuff. It's hard to... But she should keep a very open dialogue with her about it. We don't see that. Maybe she does. But I feel like this is something that you need to be closely monitoring your daughter. I mean, she's clearly affected by it, and they even flash back to that scene where she was like singing that song.
I'm sure they talked
about it. And even Gia said, like, you know, my mother and I have a close relationship.
I know, but I think there's a certain type of information that it seems like they talk like friends about it. And I feel like maybe there's a don't worry, this is going to be okay, and sort of a general explanation of don't worry about it, this is my thing, whatever. But like I said, I mean, maybe she can't shield her from it because of the show. I just feel like her listening in on that and being like, oh, like,
I know. As much as I think it is inappropriate for a 12-year-old to, you know, say as much as she has and be so involved, she has a lot of good things to say.
She does.
You know what I mean? She has a really great perspective.
Teresa was on She was on What Happens Live last season, and a caller called in and asked, do your daughters watch the show? And she said no. She said they're all too young. She said, but Gia does have a TV in her room, and she can put it on. I don't know if she does. That was a way of her to say, I mean, the girl's on a television show. If I was 12 and on a TV show, I'd be tuning in.
Yeah, I'd be wanting to see myself, and if I looked cute or whatever.
So,
100%. And not to mention, like, the tabloids and everything else, and even if she doesn't watch her, which I'm sure she does. Yeah, she's at school. She's at
an age smartphone.
Everyone talks about it.
Yeah, she can get the e-app and read everything. I mean, you know.
And think about it. Like at 12, and you're in school, and you're the kid who you're the daughter of, like, the housewife's fiasco.
You're famous. She's famous. That little girl's famous.
I mean, can you imagine, like, being in school? I mean, I'm sure that's what they talk about, or they make fun of her, and it's good and bad.
All the time.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, like, it's affecting her in so many more ways than just, like, what we see. Like, in school and everything. She seems like a cool chick, though. I'm sure she's maybe the popular girl as opposed to being made fun of.
A little attitude.
Yeah, she's got like
she's
the
got
attitude.
A lot of attitude.
She's so pretty. Yeah. She's got to be so. I mean, she's got such a beautiful little girl. So
okay,
it'll be interesting to see what happens with her though as she gets older. If she'll go like the route of Ashley, or I mean, of course, there's a lot of these, you know, a lot of things in the news, and things could go in a lot of different directions. Yeah. So who knows? But it'll be interesting to see because all those daughters of Teresa do seem to all have individual personalities.
Yeah. So
and
do.
So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they all evolve.
And speaking about, just really quickly, I just want to insert this. What's the daughter, Gabriella?
Yeah.
She doesn't look like she's, we were talking about this.
They
where
all
does
look
she come
so
from? The milkman, I mean, like,
they all look so, like, Gia and Melania look like clones of each other. And then you see Gabriella, you're like,
where's she come from?
It's just interesting to see how, like, different genetics work in different ways. Because
totally.
She looks, and I feel like she's, even her personality, like, she's always very quiet. All the other little girls are always yelling at each other and stuff. I'm like, I want to see what's going to happen with that little girl.
And they show her
a lot.
The jerseys. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's always dressed in, like, little sporty clothes. Yeah. The other girls are in, like, tutus. Mm-hmm. So they don't ever talk about it, but you see it. You're like, oh, she's, like, the little tomboy.
I wonder if blame her because Teresa had those kids running on little runways and always dolled up. And maybe just too much.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they just
she's
had their
like,
quota.
Yeah, she's like, but, dude, I can't deal with this glitter.
She had
and
her quota
leopard,
of lace. Yeah.
Leopard.
Like, no side pony for me.
I found it very interesting because I feel like this episode, there were so many clips of just her.
Mm-hmm.
Just of the, like,
Gabriella,
literally of Gabriella. And I don't ever recall them really doing that. But, like, I felt like they were trying to send us a message in an undercover way. It was just weird.
I felt the same thing last week.
Clips of her.
Yeah, last week we saw her a lot, too.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're doing with that.
I don't know either. But, like, it just seemed a little out of the
When you're watching this show, every single scene and every single thing that's presented to us is so deliberate. Like every time you see like a little scene or a little thing, you know they're trying to build up on something that's going to happen later in the episode or in a few episodes later. Because think about all the think about all the footage they have, and every little thing they insert is very specific and very
A lot
adding up to that their storyline.
This episode in particular, but leading up to this season, definitely feel like, like every time they go do something, it's like this put together group. And you know, used to be more like, we're going to go have coffee or now it's like there's everything's very planned.
Yeah.
But that's also how
it's
it is.
All of them,
it's
yeah.
all of them. That's how the OC is.
Like Teresa and Jacqueline, when they had their sit down at the end of last week's episode, they were like, oh, we have our own little room. I'm like, it was booked about 2 months ago.
Clearly, they shut down the restaurant for you because they thought someone was going to flip a table.
Yeah.
I was very surprised that didn't go that way.
What, that she didn't flip a
that
table?
That she didn't get, like, they weren't, like, spitting in each other's faces.
Well, Teresa even talked about it in her blog this week. She said something about, like, the flipping table. She's like, that was something where my actions was, like, totally uncalled for, and I never want to do it again. And she's like, if you see me during this scene with Jacqueline, I'm very reserved. I'm, like, holding everything back. Yeah. She learned a lesson. I mean,
she looked like an idiot.
She was like the crazy person that flipped the table. That's what she'll forever be known for in reality history.
I know.
Was that scene of her flipping the table.
I thought you were going to flip this table right now. I
prostitution whore. Like, that's the best line, too.
Every table she needs to sit in is bolted in.
It's going to be really hard to ever match that unless we get Danielle back.
All right, here, I want to circle back on Gia and Joe. So, Gia, you know, they're hanging out, finally, it's, you know, she's grown, it's been a year since she's seen her, he's her godfather, too, not only her uncle, but she says that, like, or she claims that she knew everything that was going on, because she's so close to her dad. What do you think about her calling out her uncle, calling out an adult on his behavior? Like, I don't know. I know these girls do what they want to do, and they're not kids so much, but I just thought it was a little inappropriate.
What was inappropriate?
That she called him out on every, you know.
Thought it was inappropriate on Gia's end?
Yes,
to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm really glad they had that scene because I'm glad that they are showing the fact that what the adults do has a big effect on the children.
This is true.
And they're not ignoring the fact that the children are affected.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that she said something and that there was a voice from that perspective because what the parents are doing is awful. It's horrible. And the children are the innocent bystanders in this and they're the ones that get, you know, screwed over. And I like that there was a voice for that.
I agree, but I feel like as a 12-year-old, like I'd have got smacked in the mouth.
So you found it disrespectful.
A little disrespectful.
Yeah,
I did.
Well, this is the problem though. There's no boundaries there.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know that. I mean, her mom's telling her information that I personally don't think you should tell a child. Yeah, don't keep them in the dark, but there's this
only a certain amount of things they should know within reason or things they can comprehend or even emotionalize at that age. And I feel like she knows a little more than she should. So, of course, she's going to get in front of him and say all these, regurgitate all these things that her mm-hmm. mom is saying. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there was a tad, in my opinion, a little, she crossed the line a little in the disrespect.
Yeah.
I don't think she was doing it to be disrespectful.
No.
I think that's just, this is what she knows. And I feel like the real problem there is that she shouldn't know all of that.
Exactly.
So that's what the real problem is.
I mean, she even called him out on the christening.
Well,
she was like,
saying,
you know,
yeah.
So
christening, though, she was there.
She was there for
I think that was fine.
And I think that was fine because his behavior has been awful. And he owned up to it.
Right.
He said it was
disgusting
behavior. Mm-hmm. And she called him out on it. She's like, don't you remember I was standing there?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was disrespectful for her to say that to him because that's something I feel that she, it was good she said that. She's like, I was standing right there.
It stuck with her.
Yeah. And that's, and like we said this when we were watching that scene, it's like, I would be, if that were me at that age, it's a traumatic thing to have your mother be attacked by her uncle that you love. Mm-hmm. Think about all psychologically everything that's happening with that.
But you can replay that because it's on tape.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's traumatic.
You know,
that aspect of the conversation I feel like was okay for her to say, hey, look, this is how it made me feel because she was there. But there's just other stuff that she shouldn't be. It's to me, it's clear she's regurgitating things that her mom has said. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like her mom shouldn't be pitting the, dude, do you know how many times you hear those little girls be like, Melissa's a stripper.
Yeah.
Why do they know that?
Yeah.
Well, A, what do they know is a stripper is anyway? And B, why are they saying those things? Like, that's what I'm saying. I think Teresa, in my opinion, should not be, if they ask questions, yes, there's a line you go up to, and when you give information, don't lie to your children, but come on, like, you shouldn't be saying, well, your aunt's a stripper. I mean,
well, I like that Gia was a straight shooter because I like that, but I also think it's great that she's so mature for her age because she might need to be.
She has to be.
I mean,
I was just going to say, survival of the fittest.
She might really, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but she might need to really be.
Grow up
fast. Get it.
Yeah.
Now, if she were 16 years old and having this conversation with Joe, I think I'd have a different opinion.
Yes.
But the fact that she's 12.
I get it.
And I agree with you. I do like that they showed that, you know, their behavior affects kids. But, like, you have to blame, at the end of the day,
Teresa.
Parents, you have to blame the parent. You know, why is she so loose at the mouth, you know, when it comes to stuff? She knows too much. She knows too much.
She does. And, you know, her father is.
No, she's growing up too fast. This little girl's growing up too fast, in my opinion.
But you wonder, too, like, because I agree with you guys, too. She shouldn't be, Teresa shouldn't be bad-talking her brother or anything. The children shouldn't be exposed to that. But we go back to the same issue of, but when she's in school and people are bringing it up and this and that, like, you know, I'm sure she probably goes back home and says, what's going on here?
So I'm sure.
In some ways, as you would wonder, like, if you were in that situation as a parent, like, what would you do? You could shield them from everything, but you know they're still going to have to be put up against it when they're in school. Well, so should they know?
Well, this is the other thing, too, is that like this show is not meant for like 8-year-olds to be watching.
Absolutely.
The show is meant for like an audience that's like teenagers and above. So the fact that these other kids are watching it and then going to Gia and saying mean things to her, and that's happening, it's all a little bit weird.
But maybe they're watching it because Gia's there, you know?
See, yeah, but the parents should step in and be like, this show is, I would
parental
not.
Parental control.
Yeah. Oh, I would not let my 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old be watching the show. That's the problem.
See, I don't expect too much else out of Gia because who in her life is reserved and holds their tongue?
Totally.
And I mean, she's got no one there to really
kind of use as
I know, but I mean, she's really got no like role models that will be able to, that she can kind of see, like, maybe I shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone just, I mean, look at
no
Joe.
Boundaries.
I mean, everyone just kind of put it out there before they even think about it.
Well, speaking of kids and inappropriate things, let's hit Zumba. So they're on the bus. And as I'm watching this scene, I'm just thinking, my God, like, how many times, like, you know, now they start calling names. The name calling thing starts again. You know, it's like, haven't they learned their lesson yet not to say stuff in front of the kids?
The kids.
I
agree. And I feel also like, I just think maybe that there's some a level of like a jadedness happening or something because now they're just like, it's like there's no freaking boundaries. And
none.
You guys, like, come on. Yeah, it's good to have this open retreat and whatever. Leave it there. Like, Teresa, it's awkward when you're like, you called me a sociopath. We're all having a nice time on the bus. You don't need to start rehashing shit. Like, stuff. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I just, whatever. And then plus the little girl's there. It's like, and then she's like, I'm Melissa. I'm on the pole.
I'm on the pole.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which is what makes you feel like all of this, them resolving everything, none of it's true. Because, like, they've got this underlying tension. This underlying, when you're still pissed pissed at somebody, you throw those jabs.
Like, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knows
when,
exactly
when you're
what
forgiving
she's doing.
Somebody and you want to move on, you're not going to sit there and say, oh, what's a sociopath? Look it mm-hmm. up. Blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
We saw Melissa throw a jab last week, yeah. too, about being a good little girl.
And Teresa actually, in her blog this week, she wrote that. She's like, oh, I'll let everyone walk all over me and I'll just be a good little girl. She put that in quotes in her blog. And so, like, you feel like none of them are moving on. Mm-hmm. None of them are sincere. None of them like each other because they're all still throwing these little jabs. And mm-hmm. you're just like, ugh. It just becomes this, like, vicious cycle.
Like, we mentioned this last week. Like, just don't even acknowledge it. Just move on. Just don't even go
but
there.
You
you're
wonder,
asking for trouble.
You got to wonder, are they, you know, kind of told to, hey, you know, if you want to bring it up and start a little something, go for it. Like, by the production side of... You know, because there's no
that's
problem.
The problem. And that's the problem I have with the show. Mm-hmm.
I wonder. I don't know. I mean, that could just be Teresa being awkward because she tends to do that often and well. But I feel like
she's asking Siri what a sociopath is.
I know.
Like, come on.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh,
that was an awkward moment, though, for sure. Yeah, in more ways than one.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think that any of their conversation, it's not true, you know, because you don't throw digs like that.
No. Yeah.
Let me ask, now that things are, quote, resolved, but now there are people are kind of throwing shade at one another and making these comments, is this what the rest of the season is going to be? Is it going to be up and downs of us, like, getting along and then not? And then someone makes a comment and then we talk about
it.
Well,
that's been the whole show.
But it's been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I mean by saying that everything is resolved. Like, after we went through all the big stuff, did all the big stuff already happen? And now is the rest of the season just going to be, like, little comments?
I don't know.
I guarantee they're going to end the season with the posh fashion show and something that's going to happen there. Like, it's just...
Another fashion show.
Can we get an invite? Can we go to this?
I know. A big event that they're gonna fight or do something. I don't know.
I'll fly out to Jersey. Yeah. I'll bring our little beam microphones.
Not go to that stupid fashion show anyway.
Now here are a few things that I just wanted to bring out. So I don't know if it bothered you guys, if you guys caught this, and I think you did, Erica, but why is it that Melania, like, doesn't know who Kathy is? Like, they're relatives. Like, I know it's been a while since they've seen each other, but the fact that she didn't know who Richie and Kathy were,
Something like this happened last season. Wasn't there a comment last season? I think it was, I don't know if it was Kathy, but I think it was somebody else.
How old is Melania?
I'm pretty sure.
Old enough to know who her family members
are. But if she hasn't seen Kathy in... Look, I work with kids, and if you ask a five-year-old where they were last summer, they're not going to remember.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like... Yeah, it was definitely weird because it just proves that Kathy and Rich in the Waukele family are not around. But I do kind of feel like she genuinely, like, who's Kathy? Like, and then she sees her and knows who she is. But little kids they don't remember stuff like that.
And I loved how when they walked in, Teresa's like, that's your
Uncle Richie.
Erica, that is what I'm talking about. Why point that out? See, now you know who Richie is, so now you make Rick.
But that's Teresa. Teresa always does that. She always throws these little things out there and I'm ready to move on. Bah, 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 bah.
Well, feel like though, sorry to interject for a second, I do think Teresa is kind of crazy, but I also sometimes wonder if she doesn't even realize that she's being like rude or
I don't think she does. She's out to lunch all the time.
Maybe I'm giving her too much credit, but I think the cameras are in her house, the daughter or her daughter doesn't know who a family member is, and it looks really bad on her part. So as soon as the uncle comes in, like, oh, you remember, right? It's a quick gloss over.
I'm
giving her too much credit, but that's what I think.
But then she doesn't realize that just makes her look like she's making a jab.
Exactly. Yeah,
I agree.
She's good with that. So she might pretend like she doesn't know what a sociopath is, but I think
Teresa, honestly, I mean, I'm not like Albert Einstein here, but she is definitely not the sharpest tool in the shed. Some stuff she doesn't even say words. She's like, is that the right word? What? How do you say
it? It's great television, though.
Yeah. It's like,
it is. She's not the best at articulating her feelings and thoughts. That is for sure. Let's talk about Caroline and Greggy. Now, here's what's interesting, and I even said it as we were watching. I feel like Caroline and the Mandos, I kind of...
Don't care.
Yeah, they're
yeah,
just
me too.
It,
yeah,
and now it's just become so separated. Like even when Caroline was called to go up to the, you know, retreat and, you know, come save the day, it's just Caroline now. Like we don't even see the whole family, you know, we don't see Chris and Albie and Albert and Lauren. Like we don't really see that part commingling with everybody else anymore. Do we think that they're on their way out? You know?
I'm actually okay with it because I didn't like Lauren complaining ad nauseum about her weight and all her problems, and it wasn't enjoyable for me, that aspect. So I'm okay if it looks like next week we make it a little of that.
They had the whole scene this week with the BLK. Remember how we were talking about it too? We were wondering what was going on with that because and I thought it was interesting during that scene because what we've talked about is like Chris is a big investor in BLK, so he's basically saying you guys are now opening up this restaurant, which I have to note, like opening a restaurant is a huge big deal.
It's a lot of work.
Like, and it for them to and this goes back with what I was saying too about like I think the Manzo kids are great, but I think they're really spoiled because most people say that opening up a restaurant is one of the hardest things that you can possibly do. And they're like, oh well, BLK is going to be like our wife and then the restaurant's going to be our mistress that just runs itself. A restaurant does not run itself.
Good luck.
Especially when you're a 22-year-old kid who's never done it before. Granted, they have the help of their father but I'm sure he himself is busy with his own thing. So, and I understand Chris's cursor and saying you lived upstairs from the what's the name of the restaurant?
The brownstone.
No, the new
townhouse.
Little town.
Little town.
And you live upstairs from the restaurant, and you know what's going to happen with BLK. And yeah, I don't blame him for being concerned. And the brothers, we can do it. Blah blah blah. Really? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I think that they feel like they have this great example of their dad with the brownstone, and like he just ran it. He was given that business at a young age, and he made it happen.
But it was just a brownstone. He didn't also have like a water.
All these other
company.
Businesses.
No, I know, but restaurant wise, I'm saying. Yeah. And so I feel like they think. They watch their dad do it so effortlessly, maybe they don't realize. But yeah, I mean, I've never run a restaurant before, but they definitely seem very a little blasé about it.
Well,
like,
it's
very
blasé. Caroline said on Watch What Happens Live last week that if it's going really well, so.
I mean, they're obviously, come on, they have like.
That what's going well? The BLK?
No,
restaurant. They have free advertising for it.
Every
and
week.
And a lot of people watch the show.
Yeah. Right.
But I said this about the BLK water. I see it at my Whole Foods. I know what it is, and I don't. Don't buy it because I don't want to drink black water.
I've never seen it.
I see it.
At Whole Foods.
And every time I see it, I think, I'm not buying that.
I mean, I think it's time to move on from that. I mean, it was either going to be like a smash out of the box hit or.
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
I agree with you on that. Focus your attention, your money, especially. It sounds like they're really. They can't take anything out of it. They're just throwing money into it. I mean, it's time to kind of maybe reevaluate. I don't know.
Yeah, but they got their uncle, and now they don't want to just. Yeah.
They had a lot of money put into it.
Yeah. Well, it's business. You're going
to
figure it out.
I feel like the restaurant, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
with
they'll
that.
Just declare bankruptcy like all the rest of it.
And then get in trouble for it.
I feel like I just want to see more of everybody like
together and not so separated.
And not so separated.
Do you mean like a trip? Is that what you're looking for?
Not necessarily a trip.
Well, that's how they do it.
But yeah, I just feel like lately there's been a separation, a clear separation and a divide. Yeah. You just don't see everybody like together like you used to.
I wonder if I like Caroline. I do like her. There's a little, and I hate to say it because I like her, but the holier than thou mentality that I get from her sometimes.
Yeah.
But I can also see why. Because sometimes she says stuff and you're like, dude, she's just rising above it. Like, she's just like, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, what we're feeling, that like, she doesn't want to be a part of it. Like, she's all about her family. And like, I think that's, you can respect that. But as a viewer, you're like, I want to see them, like you're saying.
I think she has the same situation, though, as Teresa, where she's stuck in a contract with them.
Probably.
And I think, I would think if given her choice, I think out of all the housewives, she'd probably
leave. I agree.
Yeah.
She'd be the first to go.
Yeah, for sure.
At the same time.
I think Kathy is on her. I think Kathy's ready to leave.
No, I think Kathy likes it.
I think she loves it.
I know she would stay on with it. But
you're saying
think
they.
That she needs to stay on that show.
No.
I don't think they need her. But
well, look, she just launched her pastry business. And again, you know, these guys are getting free publicity every week. You know, they'd be stupid not to take advantage of the, you know.
I like Kathy.
I like it. Even Caroline, we need a storyline for these people.
But I like hearing, like, what she has to say, because I feel like in some ways, like, compared to with, you know, Teresa and Melissa, sometimes she's more of like the more
she's grounded. Totally.
And I like seeing her perspective.
I like, and I love Rosie. I am sorry, but Rosie is like one of the best things that ever happened to that show, I think. Oh, I love Rosie.
I like her. I wouldn't say love.
I love Rosie.
I mean, all right. We see more of Joe and his confessionals than we do Caroline. She's a housewife. You know, that's kind of my problem.
That's what I'm saying.
They need to balance that show out.
I think Caroline is backing away. I think that she, and she might be, like you're saying, she might be obligated via contractor. I don't know, but I feel like she doesn't really want to be there.
Yeah, I feel like that too.
Well, guys, I think we could talk forever because we have a full house.
I know, right?
Did we hit everything? Anybody else have anything
they wanted
to?
Yeah, and the Zumba, they were
the
all
Zumba
together.
Was good.
Well, wait, can we discuss Ashley real quick?
Oh, yes.
She's an original, and I'm sure we all have thoughts and opinions. I mean, I don't
she looks great.
I don't think she was the only one that had work done because her lips were.
Her lips looked
she
a little
had
big.
She had them last season, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did she?
Remember, she did the whole blonde thing?
Yes, that did not.
That was with the lips and the hair and all that.
I think she looked great. You know, and I also feel like
for her.
No, but I mean, I think she looked very fashionable and she looked a little more subdued. She was getting a little crazy there for a while with like the lots of makeup and the crazy blonde hair. I thought she looked really pretty and nice. And also she seemed a little more level headed.
Yeah. And mature.
I
right.
She looked really pretty with her hair up. Actually, I have to say,
she,
I think she looked really pretty.
I think
in that.
She,
I don't know.
She
looked she was good. Too overdone.
As a guy, you're not a fan.
She was way too overdone.
Really?
I don't understand the hairstyle. I don't know if she was trying to channel like in a geisha or something, but it was a little much. It was just too much
very,
for
the
me.
Bun and the red lip is very
I'm not hating. I'm sure it she's is. A cool kid, but I don't know. I just think that she, I mean, I don't know. She didn't look underdone to me.
I feel like that old Ashley where, you know, they had all the issues, and even Jacqueline spoke to it in her blog. That old Ashley is gone. I think she's mature. She grew up. It was a phase. They have
know.
A much better relationship.
It's
you know,
good to
Jacqueline,
see. I felt like I was seeing a different Ashley, and it felt like it was a better Ashley.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Great. And it was good that she was there for her mom, you know, for such an important...
Can't wait to see the unveiling next episode.
Woo!
Cannot wait.
Unveiling.
It was dramatic. She was walking up the walkway with the snow falling and her little hood on. Like, it was kind of a dramatic reveal.
But I don't know how much difference she could really look just with the chin thing, you know?
Oh,
I
mean, you'd be surprised.
People think if she made a nose job or a facelift, but the chin thing.
I mean, no, have you ever seen... Some people don't have a defined
I was calling it a connected chin.
Exactly. And it makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference in your profile, especially.
Now I want to look at Jacqueline's connected chin.
Is mine okay?
You don't have a connect. No.
How bad does Jacqueline wish they redid those opening titles?
We talked about that before we wrap this up. They need to read. Caroline's hair is like this short. Those are from like 3 years ago.
It is
the
season
beginning.
Three.
Yeah. I need to see new pictures of these girls, and the kids are all small. And I just it doesn't update.
Especially when you have children, like
Bravo.
Young kids, they grow so fast.
Yeah,
you're 3
Bravo
seasons
have,
in.
Yeah,
I mean,
the budget to do that.
Come on,
like,
Bravo.
Let's call Andy Cohen and tell him to redo that intro.
Andy Cohen, let me give you the 411. Okay,
put it on your to-do list, Andy. Okay, instead of worrying about all the
Kathy's got a new nose.
You know, it is tough. That's a good point. You know, these women undergo so much plastic surgery. They have to constantly
so
be redoing their intro.
You got to maintain that.
Like,
all right. On that note, let's get to some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay.
nice. Good. I like that.
It's a high octane.
I like that. All right. I wish we had a picture of... for you guys to pull up, but we can't, unfortunately.
Well, where can we?
But it's actually from Perez Hilton. But Joe and Teresa, they had their first post-fraud red carpet appearance, and they were at the Hard Rock.
Post-indictment?
Yes, post-indictment. They're at the Hard Rock Hotel for an event in Florida, and the picture actually shows the two of them looking very, very comfortable and kissy-faced. And
hold up.
With
each
other.
What are these two doing in Florida? I thought they were bound to New York and New Jersey.
You are right about that.
These two, it's not the first time they broke the rules. Why am I surprised?
I wouldn't be surprised maybe if they got it cleared, if it was something that they were, like, making money from, or it was, you know,
if
they signed a contract or something.
If it was an appearance they were getting paid for and there was a contract, they probably had to go, but...
Yeah. Because, you know, the government's already has their hands on that money.
Right. They're watching.
So they're watching. Yeah. So too bad we can't show you guys a pic, but it's a cute little pic of them at this event. And very good point, Rand, bringing that
up. I'm just saying. These two.
And then, finally, I just have, you guys remember Danielle Staub?
No, who?
Oh, I love her. I really do.
I know. You're a huge fan.
I am.
Well, Teresa had a lot of nice things to say about Danielle and her girl. And I quote, she says, let's see here. And I wish all the best to her gorgeous girls, meaning Danielle Staub. She must be doing something right to have such great kids that aren't making fools of themselves on Twitter. And Danielle Staub's daughter, Christine, she tweeted her back. And, of course, this was like...
But who was that, a stab at, though?
It was a stab at Jacqueline and her daughter.
Okay, yeah,
because that was that she was known for doing that. Yeah. And she did crazy tweets. Remember she did that whole thing on Facebook with Danielle? And
Danielle and Ashley had a huge issue.
They got into a fight.
So I think it was more, when I read that, I thought it was more of a stab at Jacqueline.
And less of a compliment.
More so than a compliment for Danielle.
100% agree.
Yeah, totally. Brown nosing.
And of course, you know, a young girl has to get caught in the crossfire, but, you know.
You wonder why they are in conversation.
I also saw a quick little thing on E! News. They did a poll about what the viewers and the fans of The Real Housewives of New Jersey think that Teresa and Joe, what they think the outcome is going to be. And over 50% of them are like, they're going to get put in jail. Because the allegations are so serious. Like,
those 39 counts.
They really think
so what happens to the kids when they get put in jail? So it's Joey
Guardian.
Is... the godfather. I know that's a religious thing, but still.
If they have a will set up, whatever that is will come into play.
Is Melissa going to inherit the children?
Well, yeah.
I'm
sure.
How crazy.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen, but maybe.
Who would it be?
It'd either be Joe and Melissa, or it'd be the grandparents.
It's whoever is in
the
will.
Grandparents. That's what I think.
Or the grandfather that's super, it's whoever is in the will, but I'm trying to wonder, if the grandparents, because if he's really sick, the grandfather.
I'm sure they're making sure they put that stuff in order. And I don't know if you guys knew this, Juicy Joe, he is not an American citizen. So if they do, get convicted, he will be deported because he can't serve time in the United States since he is not a citizen.
Real Housewives go to Rome. Watch out.
Permanently.
So that's very interesting. All right, is it time for some predictions?
And now. Buzz TV. Predictions.
So we see scenes for the next. There's more drama. I don't think it's another posh fashion show, but, you know, Melissa's friends and the whole cheating rumor. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to know, do you guys think she cheated?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
I don't want her to have, and I really like Melissa, but I feel like she did.
I think she did, too. I think it was a long time ago, before she had her kids, like when they were first married.
I just feel like her best friend? Yeah, maybe she wants some camera time or some 15 minutes of fame, but obviously Melissa has a reason to cover. I don't know. I just feel like she did.
I think she, and I think she's a stripper. We had this conversation. I think she was also a stripper.
Which I don't think there's anything wrong
Me
with that.
Either.
Big deal.
Own it.
Look at Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
He made a whole career out of it.
On the other side, I don't think she cheated.
Really?
I don't.
Really?
The man in the room.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. I think that there's a lot of rumors about their marriage and all, but I really don't think that she would do that. I don't think she'd be so stupid to give up that whole situation that she's in with her husband. On top of it, we've heard so much this season about her father and how Joe kind of replaced her father in his eyes. So I think there really could be.
But if that's what she grew up watching, maybe that's what she thinks is subconsciously is okay somehow.
I don't know. If you have kids, it sounds like they had kids early on.
I agree with Deanna. I think this whole cheating and stuff happened before they had kids. Obviously, before the show, before all this. Before she was like a, family wife and all that.
I think they're dredging up old shit. Look what they did with Danielle Staub.
That's what I'm
saying. That was 25 years ago.
Predict that the next episode, we know that there's rumors, allegations of her cheating. I predict that something, very specific, some specific piece of information, like with a person or a date or a time, is going to come out and really make her look guilty. I don't know. I mean, I feel like she cheated. I don't know. But I feel like we're going to find out something that's really going to make us go, oh, snap. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm giving Melissa the benefit of the doubt with some of these things because this bridesmaid friend of hers who turned on her, these women all have watched the show. They saw the Kim G, the Kim D, how they came up. through the ranks and how they made these comments.
So you think they're just trying to get...
So, I mean, if this girl is so low that she would go after someone that considers her such a good friend and had her in her wedding party, then I don't put anything past her on what she'd be saying.
Well,
I really don't.
We're going to end with your words, Grant. So we're going to find out the truth next week. Everybody, let's go around the room. Where can we find you?
I am Lauren Leonelli. You can find me on Twitter at Lauren Leonelli, Facebook, Instagram, and my website, all at Lauren Leonelli.
Ooh. And I'm Grant Rutter, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Grant Michael R.
And I am Erica Garcia Rojas, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I am EGR.
And I'm Deanna Vaughn. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Oh my God. At It's Me, Deanna V. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we will be here, all of us, next week.
Yeah.
Ooh, full house.
Full panel.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.